Radio Prague News.
The new Minister of the Environment has laid out his priorities regarding regulation and renewable energy. The Czech and Slovak defense ministers have initiated a new work group to consider options for military cooperation between the two countries. And Sparta Prague have reached the third qualifying round of European Football's Champions League. The new Environment Minister, Pavel Drobil, says he wants to simplify and decrease the amount of paperwork his ministry requires of businesses. In presenting his priorities to reporters on Thursday, Mr. Drobil said that he sees the regulation of small and medium-sized businesses as ineffective because they play a negligible role in polluting the environment. Citing a ministerial analysis from 2008 that shows that 3% of businesses are responsible for 80% of all air pollution, Mr. Drobil said he wanted to heavily regulate these polluters while taking the burden off of smaller companies. The ministry will therefore attempt to simplify the system and decrease the number of regulated businesses through amendments to laws regarding air pollution and waste. In the area of energy, the Environment Ministry's first policy draft includes support for biomass, biogas stations, and heat pumps in order to bolster effective and sustainable energy sources. Mr. Drobil said that state grants should not be put towards solar and wind power. The Environment Minister wants amendments to the law on renewable energy sources to ensure the development of prospective sources while not influencing electricity prices for end users. The nuclear program, he said, would have the Ministry's support in ensuring maximum security. The Czech and Slovak defense ministers have initiated a new work group to consider options for military cooperation between their two countries. Meeting in Prague on Thursday, the Czech minister Alexander Vondra and his Slovak counterpart Lubomír Galko agreed that transport aviation and airspace defense were two areas in which greater military cooperation was feasible. The new team will also discuss collaboration on surface logistics and military training, science and research. Mr. Vondra said he expected the team's first results in late November, with basic proposals to be ready next year. Collaboration with Slovak soldiers, he said, could also be an option should the Czech Republic redeploy special forces to Afghanistan in 2011, where the involvement of Czech, Slovak, Polish, and Croatian military police is expected. The Chinese city of Huzhou has expressed interest in purchasing the Czech pavilion at the World Expo in Shanghai, the Czech press agency has reported. The prefecture-level city of roughly 2.5 million apparently wants to cover all costs to relocate the building to a lakeside municipal zone where it would stand at the center of a tourist area. No price has been confirmed. The Czech pavilion has been among the more popular sites at the Shanghai Expo, with 3.7 million people having visited it so far, or 13% of the total number of visitors. In sports news, Sparta Prague have reached the third qualifying round of European Football's Champions League after overcoming Latvia's Liepājas Metalurgs on Wednesday. The Czech title holders had won the first leg 3-0 away and sealed the tie with a 2-0 win in Prague on Wednesday after scoring twice from free kicks in the first half. Sparta's next opponents in the competition are the Polish side Poznan. Now looking briefly at the weather, conditions are expected to cloud up over the coming days, with scattered showers on Friday and Saturday and a drop in temperatures to the low 20s Celsius. For now, I'm Christian Falvey, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague, and I am Sarah Borufka. Welcome to the program. Today, after many years of domination by two parties, a fresh poll suggests relative newcomer Top 09 is now the strongest force in Czech politics. A break-in at the Czech Army's Prague headquarters leaves the military both embarrassed and relieved. And what happens if you eat nothing but Czech pub food for a whole month? Stay tuned to find out. Then later in the program, we hear from Ivo Laurin, the head of the Czech Republic's only word-of-mouth advertising agency.
when someone is happy with a service or a product, he usually suggests his friends to try that service or product as well.
All that and more coming up, so don't go away. Some people may have thought it was a political blip that would soon lose its allure, but a relative newcomer on the Czech political scene, Top 09, appears to be going from strength to strength. A recent poll suggests it has eclipsed the two traditional parties on the right and left and is now the people's favorite. Chris Johnstone reports.
The Conservative Party, Top 09, was the biggest revelation at May's elections, when it polled around 17% and became the third biggest force in the lower house. Skeptics may have tipped the party to quickly lose its shine, but that has not happened. In fact, a poll released this week by the SANEP agency suggests Top 09 has added another 6 percentage points to now stand at just under 23%. The survey gives Top 09 a slender lead over the left-leaning Social Democrats, who are on 22.6%, and an almost 2-point lead over the traditional party of the right, the Civic Democrats. Political commentator Jiří Pehe says the poll results are not so surprising and suggests the party is reaping the reward for its tough negotiating stand during coalition negotiations.
During the coalition talks about the new government, Top 09 clearly came on the top as the most resolute and decisive party, which managed to push through most of its agenda.
In one of the most significant victories, Top 09 trampled over Civic Democrat reservations and insisted that its deputy leader, Miroslav Kalousek, return to his former post as Minister of Finance. Mr. Kalousek has since appeared to have shaken off the Civic Democrat desire to shackle him with one of their appointees as deputy minister to keep him in line. But as the rhetoric about blood, sweat and tear sacrifices to curb the budget deficit become reality, Mr. Pehe warns that the three centre-right coalition parties will start paying the price in terms of their popularity.
I think that at the moment various concrete measures will be introduced, various cuts in the social welfare system. In particular, there will be some backlash and those parties should be prepared that their popularity will drop. I think at this point what is the most important finding coming out of this poll and maybe several future polls for Top 09, that its popularity is not decreasing, dropping ahead of the municipal elections and Senate elections in October, and that is perhaps the most important news.
At those elections, Top 09 looks like taking some more political scalps, most likely at the expense of its main government partner, the Civic Democrats.
Thank you, Chris. And now for a rather unusual story involving the Czech military. The General Staff of the Czech Army has had its headquarters on Prague's Vítešské náměstí since 1937. It is a massive building which had never been broken into, until now. Thieves entered the Army's headquarters last Thursday night, apparently well aware of where to go and what they wanted. The robbery has left the Czech military embarrassed, but also relieved that apparently no sensitive information was lost. Jan Velinga has the story.
Czech Army headquarters on Vítězné náměstí in Prague 6 are housed in a huge building, dominant in every respect and supposedly impermeable. But thieves managed to enter the building at 3 in the morning last Friday, proving that getting into the Czech Pentagon was less difficult than one might think. According to sources, key factors were both the time of the theft, when an armed duty officer is allowed to get some shut-eye, and a window left open to battle the summer heat. Reportedly, the thieves then crept in practically under the officer's nose, even as other armed guards patrolled different parts of the building. What was stolen? The Czech Army says 4 medals, including one awarded abroad to the Army's Chief of Staff, Lieutenant General Vlastimil Picek, himself, and they were stolen from a workroom adjacent to the general's own. That raised questions over how much sensitive information was at risk. The issue was addressed by the spokeswoman for the general staff of the Czech army, Mira Třebická, who confirmed for Czech TV that nothing else had been taken.
No sensitive information was lost, and the perpetrators did not make it into the chief of staff's office or into those of any of his colleagues.
Still, there's no question the theft left the general staff with egg on its face, prompting the new defense minister Alexander Vondra to reinstate security by military police, which had been withdrawn by his predecessor Martin Bartak. The prime minister himself then also addressed the incident on Wednesday, jokingly saying at least the perpetrators were not from within. And while the break-in is obviously no laughing matter, some observers, including the newspaper Mladá Fronta Dnes, have already resurrected the image of the great Czech literary character, the good soldier Švejk, suggesting that a robbery right in the headquarters of the Czech army, under the nose of a sleeping guard, would not be out of place in Hašek's great satirical anti-war novel.
Thanks for that report, Jan. Now, you might remember the 2004 documentary Supersize Me, where filmmaker Morgan Spurlock spent a month eating nothing but McDonald's. The film documents the drastic effects on his body and soul. There have been several attempts to emulate his experiment, the most recent here in the Czech Republic, when a man spent a month eating nothing but Czech food in pubs and restaurants. And lost 6 kilos. His diary has now been released as a book. Rob Cameron reports.
Hello, may I help you?
Yeah, could I get the double quarter pounder with cheese meal?
A scene from Supersize Me, Morgan Spurlock's entertaining, disturbing, and at times disgusting documentary of life on a Big Mac diet.
Use all these numbers, right? These numbers are outrageous.
Unfortunately, you caused some.
The film inspired a number of copycat experiments, most recently conducted by Lubos Bokštefl, a middle-aged and slightly paunchy man who ate nothing but traditional Czech food, goulash, dumplings, roast pork and cabbage and so on, for a month and kept a regular diary documenting the changes. The result is a new book parodying Spurlock's experiment called Super Špek Me, Špek being the Czech for fat. He spoke about it to Czech television.
It's a parody in the sense that he ate in America's favorite restaurant and I ate in the Czech Republic's favorite restaurants. When people read the regular updates on my blog, they posted comments saying it made them want to go straight down to the pub and get themselves some Czech food.
Morgan Spurlock put on 11 kilos and his cholesterol level went through the roof after eating at McDonald's 3 times a day, and he says it took 14 months to lose the weight he'd gained. Lubos Bokštefl, whose weight and vital signs were closely monitored by a Czech doctor, says he lost 6 kilos, a somewhat suspicious result given the famous fattiness of Czech food. His doctor, Lukáš Polert, told Czech television there was actually a completely logical explanation.
He promised he'd only eat in pubs. That means breakfast in the morning, lunch at noon, and dinner in the evening. When he ate at home or at work, he was constantly raiding the fridge. So yes, Czech food does come out of this experiment looking good. After all, he lost 6 kilos. But it's all about lifestyle. What we eat is a small part of it. What we do afterwards is pretty fundamental.
Lubos Bokštefl admits that since the experiment, he's put on the pounds that he lost in a month eating pub food. He is, however, now a published author, so that must be some consolation.
Thanks, Rob. Now to an era where such frivolous experiments with food were probably unimaginable. Archaeologists have just discovered what they say is the first evidence that the Czech Republic's most important pilgrimage site was inhabited during the era of the Great Moravian Empire. Pieces of ceramic material found during a dig at Velehrad are being seen as proof that it was indeed settled in the 9th century. Ian Willoughby reports.
Every year on July 5th, thousands of Czech Roman Catholics gather at the Basilica of the Assumption of the Virgin Mary and Saints Cyril and Methodius in the South Moravian town of Velehrad. They're there on Cyril and Methodius Day to celebrate the evangelization of the Slavs by the two Greek missionaries in the 9th century. The huge popularity of the annual Mass makes Velehrad the country's most important pilgrimage site. Cyril and Methodius came to the great Moravian Empire at the behest of Prince Rastislav, and some Czechs believe that when they arrived in the Slavic state, Velehrad was one of its most important centres. However, others question whether Velehrad was even settled in the 9th century. That dispute may now have been resolved. During an archaeological dig at the basilica, several significant pieces of ceramic material were found. Archaeologist Zdeněk Schenk announced earlier this week.
We can say with 99% or 100% certainty that this ceramic material is from the period of the Great Moravian Empire. It bears typical markings of that era. It is basically the first evidence of as yet undefined human activity at that time on the site of the basilica. I'm talking about settlement before the actual building of the basilica itself in the Romanesque period, in the first half of the 13th century.
However, Zdeněk Schenk says he's reluctant to speculate as to exactly what kind of settlement existed at Velehrad during the era of the Great Moravian Empire. He and his team from the company Archaea Olomouc have been examining the Basilica of the Assumption of the Virgin Mary and Saints Cyril and Methodius since last autumn. As well as the valuable ceramics, they've uncovered the graves of people buried in the 13th century and a sophisticated drainage canal system.
Thank you, Ian. And if you've just joined us, you are listening to Radio Prague. Now, we are leaving the Middle Ages to look at a topic that is very 21st century. Word-of-mouth advertising in this week's edition of Panorama. Ivo Laurin is the director of Outbreak, the Czech Republic's only word-of-mouth marketing agency. Instead of what's called above-the-line or ATL advertising, meaning traditional methods such as billboards and TV commercials, Mr. Laurin aims to engage the consumer in conversations about the product that is at the center of his campaign. And with some success. Word of mouth is sometimes referred to as WOM, and last year Outbreak received a Bronze WOMY, an American award honoring great work in this cutting-edge form of advertising. I talked to Ivo Laurin about what word of mouth entails, how it differs from conventional advertising, and what first piqued his interest in the industry.
15 years ago, I saw a TV ad filmed by Mr. Svěrák, the young Czech director at that time, and it was a Saab commercial. It was beautiful, and I was in a university, my first year in university, and I was like, I have to do this, I have to try, and I sent three resumes to three advertising agencies in Prague, and one of them answered, and I was in.
And from then, you have founded your own word-of-mouth advertising or marketing agency. I think a lot of our listeners may not know what exactly word-of-mouth marketing is. Maybe you could explain what it is.
Well, word-of-mouth is nothing new. It's not a buzzword of the moment. It's simply when someone is happy with a service or a product, he usually suggests his friends or co-workers to try that service or product as well because he or she was happy. What is word-of-mouth marketing? It's basically tools and activities that drive people to word-of-mouth more frequently, more heavily, towards more people.
And would you say that word-of-mouth is something that happens mostly online or has been boosted by the internet where customers can review things and products? Or do you think it's also very much present in the offline realm?
Well, certainly social media and internet will be playing an increasing role in word-of-mouth spreading. But at this moment, and it is the same in, for example, United States as in Czech Republic, the word-of-mouth is most usually spread within offline world. I guess it's something like 80% of all the WOM conversations are happening offline.
And in terms of the Czech Republic comparing to larger markets such as, I don't know, the United States, Germany, are there any Czech-specific differences? Is there anything about the market that you have to keep in mind?
Well, we were quite surprised. Something like 3 years ago, we ran a study that was supposed to reveal how word of mouth works in Czech Republic. And we saw, to our surprise, quite a lot of similarities in comparison with the United States market. So, for example, the number I already mentioned, 80% of WOM is happening offline. We were quite surprised to see that the majority of word-of-mouth conversations are positive, and that the number of positive word-of-mouth conversations is quite similar to United States market, for example. So there is quite a lot of similarities, and I guess it's because the word-of-mouth is quite a universal phenomenon. It's not too much driven by culture or other environmental attributes.
And in which way, if I'm a client, what can word-of-mouth advertising or marketing do for me that conventional advertising might not be able to deliver?
Well, it's all about the level of engagement that you can get from a ATL campaign or versus the word-of-mouth marketing campaign or word-of-mouth spreading, right? In the ATL, most of the times, the top level of engagement you can get is the time that the audience spends with your message on TV or when passing a billboard or something like that. Whereas in the word-of-mouth marketing or word-of-mouth, you benefit from conversations that spread from someone to someone else and then to other people, where the level of engagement usually lasts longer. The average word-of-mouth conversation lasts 6 minutes, and again, it's quite similar for United States and Czech Republic. And the number of generations that the message gets to through the talking between people is definitely larger than in case of ATL campaigns.
And maybe to take a specific example, I've read about your Bazaar campaign and it being quite successful. Can you just tell me a little bit about that?
Bazaar was a beautiful case of a client who was brave enough to invest a great part of his yearly budget into a pretty huge word-of-mouth marketing project that lasted a couple of months. And actually, we decided to launch a new beer, new football beer, because the brand is sponsoring one of the biggest football club brands in the Czech Republic, Baník Ostrava. But they usually used traditional channels to build on that sponsorship. What we suggested to do was to launch a new football beer for all the lovers of this football club and for all the beer drinkers in the region of Ostrava, but not actually create the beer behind the walls of the brewery, but offer everybody in the region a chance to join in a co-creation of the new football beer. And the project was divided into several waves. In the first one, people could taste two beer samples and decide which is the better for a football beer. And in the next rounds, they suggested a name, then they voted for the top scoring names. They chose one of the names, which was Ostravar Bazal, which is based on the place where their stadium is located in Ostrava. A couple of the fans were actually shot. And they are now on the labels of the beer bottles. So we had a pretty successful campaign, which resulted in really thousands and thousands of people who were directly involved in the co-creation, and as well the sales results were great, and they were so great that client, after a few months, decided to actually keep this beer in their portfolio, even though in the beginning, the creation of this beer was really just a marketing project, and the beer was not supposed to live too long.
And lastly, in terms of, I don't know, ethics in this business, things that you have to watch out for, what are some of the ethical concerns you have to be aware of?
Well, I think the number one rule is to always be transparent, to always state what it is for, what brand stands behind a project, We've seen in Czech Republic a couple of cases where agencies hired students to, for example, comment in internet forums and internet chats as if they were a regular consumer, but they were not. They were actually briefed by an agency, and this is something totally unacceptable. This is something that became illegal in United Kingdom, for example, in the past year, and it's something that we, of course, do not do.
I was talking there to Ivo Laurin, head of the word-of-mouth ad agency Outbreak, for this week's edition of Panorama. It brings us to the end of the program. Please tell us if you've got any thoughts on what you've heard on the show today. The postal address here is Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2. The address for emails is english@radio.cz. As always, everything you've heard in the program can also be found at radio.cz. There you will also find a huge archive of reports and features in both text and audio form. You can also sign up for a free news email and use our podcasting. We will talk to you again soon. But until then, from me, Sarah Borufka, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you for listening and goodbye.